Red on Red.
This week in the podcast, we're joined in studio by Ricky Dineen, Liam Heffernan and Ian Walsh of post-punk supergroup Big Boy Foolish / And None Came Back.
The next song is about psychiatrists and stuff, rubbish, and it's called White Blood Runner.
It's about when you go away in your holidays with your mother and father, and you have to take all the. And it's called Summer Holidays.
Ah!
Nun Attacks with White Cortina and Mean Features with Summer Holidays, taken from the legendary split 12-inch EP Caught at the Campus, available now across all streaming services, a valuable document of the history of post-punk in Cork City. This is Red on Red, Cork's new music podcast, dropping every Wednesday evening via Cork's Red FM and redextra.ie. We're also available on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify and other podcasting platforms. I'm Mike McGrath-Bryan, and over the past 60-odd episodes, we've been playing new music from the city's DIY music community, having conversations with the people therein and exploring the relationship between the city and its left field music. So it's with great pride this week that we welcome to studio our guests for this episode, some of the musicians that were front and centre in really constructing the scene and the era that set the stage for the city's musical development and its status as a haven and a place for independent music to thrive and to flourish. From Nun Attacks / Five Go Down to the Sea, Ricky Dineen.
Hello.
From Mean Features, among countless other creative projects, soap operas, theatre presentations, Liam Heffernan.
How's it going?
Joining us also in studio, partaking in the proceedings, as well as a established session musician, music professional in his own right, and the leader of Punches Pilot and the Nail Drivers, Mr. Ian Walsh.
Thank you very much.
It's a pleasure to have you in studio this evening. Mike. Big gig coming up next month in Cypress Avenue as it marks the return of And None Came Back, of course, the celebration of Cork Post Punk, and the live debut of Big Boy Foolish. How are you feeling heading into it, lads?
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to it. I mean, we've done the And None Came Back thing before. We've done it. We did it 5 years ago in the Pavilion, and it was quite successful. More of the same, hopefully, coming up with exactly the same lineup. The lineup, the people that aren't here, like would be Humphrey, the bass player, who's the best bass player in the world, he told me today to say. And Tom.
Healy.
Who's probably the best singer in the world as well. But he did it 5 years ago, and people had commented like that he was actually almost Donnelly personified on the stage, and he was superb. Now we're hoping to repeat that on the 18th. And then myself and Liam then have been working away on our own little project, which is called Big Boy Foolish, which is basically the two of us, little ditties that we put together over a couple of years. And we're just hoping that it'll work out well on the night. We don't know. It's in the lap of the gods yet. We are rehearsing outside of Annan Come Back with Big Boy Foolish. We're having a few teething problems, but we're getting there.
That's the nature of the game.
It should be good. Hopefully on the night.
With Boris.
With Boris as well. Boris, who's our machine, who plays the drums and the bass. He does all that stuff for us.
We'll talk a little bit about Big Boy Foolish a little bit later on. But first things first, you know, we have a lot of younger listeners to Red on Red that fall very much within the kind of broader alternative category. And there's been an increased knowledge in the last couple of years of kind of the history of Cork's music scene compared to maybe even 5-10 years ago. The relative ahistoricality has been shaken off. And for those that aren't familiar with the music of Five Go Down to the Sea, Nun Attacks, etc., a fantastic documentary was made a couple of years ago by documentary maker Paul McDermott, Get That Monster Off the Stage, which comprehensively covers the legacy of Finbarr Donnelly and really of the post-punk scene that was operating out of Arcadia Hall on the Lord Lanmire Road for many years. It'd be no use to try and top that as far as providing context for what was happening in and around the time. So I'm just going to recommend that you go listen to it. We'll leave a link in the description for the podcast. Having had that period of time documented so comprehensively, and you know the care that Paul McDermott showed across all three of his documentaries with Micro Disney and with Stump, how did you feel about the prospect of kind of sitting down and recounting those times? You know, for a lot of people, it was their first time looking at that whole period in the rearview mirror, almost.
When he had approached me, I mean, I think he made the first version of it without. I wasn't in the first version, apparently, and I wasn't doing anything actually. I basically drinking my way through the 90s, and it was fairly kind of barren. But things started happening again in the new. You know, I think it was around. I think it was the new century, as we call it. And Paul, speaking to Paul, kind of, I started becoming interested again in the scene, or trying to do, you know, try to recreate it. Mm-hmm. To be honest with you, like, but No, it was funny. Tried to relive it all. I tried to remind her all. In fact, Paul seemed to know a lot more, or seemed to remember a lot more of the stuff than I did. He remember things that I couldn't remember.
Like, was he there?
Well, he wasn't. I don't know how he managed to get all this information. Like, but he seemed to know places where we played in London and places where that I could barely remember. You know, but it was a really interesting time. Like, and I remember when I did add my bit onto it, like, and I listened to it again. Like, I kind of got emotional listening to it, to be honest with you, and it kind of gave me a bit of an interest, or maybe I should start playing again. Do you know?
Yeah.
And I did this. Well, I think a little bit a spark to get me playing again was to play with Corkaducka a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
When Pat Kieran and the approached us to put a band together. That's where I met Ian as well.
2004.
In 2004. And Liam was in the play as well, but he wasn't as a musician. But it was that kind of getting back onto the stage and putting the songs back together again that got me interested to go back doing this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's why we're here today, I suppose, talking about a gig next week, or a gig in 3 weeks' time.
How did you find the response to the radio documentary then? Because it's one of those things that even now is on regular rotation over on Cork Campus Radio. It's considered to be kind of the definitive document of those years, a very important point in development for alternative or weird music in Cork City. How did you feel about how people responded to it that weren't necessarily there?
I really didn't. I didn't get much of the responses. To be honest with you, I'd say Paul would probably be easier, would probably answer the questions easier than that. But I think people, like any people that I know that listened to the documentary that had absolutely no interest in an alternative scene, were, I thought it was a very interesting documentary. But, musically wise, I don't think it pushed, it didn't increase interest in our kind of music anyway from that time. I don't think so anyway. I don't know what the reaction was. As I say, Paul would know more than anything what the reaction was.
You mentioned then the reunion show that kind of happened a little bit further down the line at the Pavilion to mark what was then the 20th anniversary.
That was the 20th anniversary, yeah. That was with Mick Lynch was doing the singing that time. Yeah, Mick Lynch is no longer with us, and Pat Keller playing the bass is no longer with us either. Both of them succumbed to cancer, which is very sad indeed. Like, but it was a good night, but it just gives us a taste of things to come, maybe. You know,
in terms of bringing that together, and again, there's been more kind of infrequent reunions since. You've had gigs at the Crane Lane, you've done some stuff back and forth. What was it like, I suppose, deconstructing that old material? As you mentioned, you had done so for the stage play before. Bit of a difference between the play and, you know, being out in front of a full gigging audience and that reception. What was it like kind of deconstructing everything that had been written prior and kind of reconstructing it with different people and a different dynamic?
It was very unusual, because we like, it kind of made us realise the kind of range that Donnelly had to get other singers to do what actually Donnelly used to do on the stage, and the things he used to come up with, and to get somebody to kind of copy that, like, was hard enough. Musically, it was kind of it was very hard at the start, as I say. Like, I came out of the 90s, like, which was a bit of a haze, and just getting back into it. And I think I'm even more into it now. I think we're all even more into it now. The advantage as well with the play is that we actually had a cello player with us.
Unni Conlon.
It wasn't Una, it was Diane?
Diane O'Keefe.
Diane, yeah, she played with us, which was very easy to deconstruct the songs. Like.
Yeah.
But after that, then it started off a bit hard, but it's getting a little bit easier now. We'll get back into the groove again.
That's a beautiful segue on then to my next question, which is, people obviously talk about the arc and they talk about post-punk in Cork and that certain time. With hushed tones, that same sense of mythology has kind of been passed down a little bit. It was only a couple of weeks ago that Dominic Moore was doing that stage play about the life of Mick Lynch, and I had lads in their 20s that are the current gigging generation asking about it and asking, you know, how it came together and all of this, and I just kind of put them on to Dominic Moore because I had only figured out... I'd only learned about it a couple of days prior, do you know? So with that in mind, what kind of parallels do you draw between the scene that was there at the time and kind of what's happening now what are the changes? What's your take on how things are?
Well, I haven't been out gigging much, to be honest with you. But I've seen you at the odd gig.
Yeah,
the odd one, all right, like that. It's just, I mean, there's no comparison, completely no comparison to going into a room with 1,000 people in it on a Saturday night than even the gig I was at the other night, the Paranoid Visions gig, like maybe it was 150, 200, and they're fairly well-known band. Do you know, I mean, they would have, a couple of years ago, they'd have come down and been playing in front of 1,000 people. I mean, we were spoiled. Basically, we were spoiled. I mean, the crowds would come whether we were good or bad.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just a completely different scene. And I think it's a bit of a struggle as well nowadays. You could see people running around the place trying to get people to pay, you know, trying to pay this guy, trying to pay that guy, like getting them moving the stuff around. And it seems to be a lot harder. Like, we used to kind of carry the amps around on the bus before and stuff like that.
There's still a little bit of that happening.
Yeah. Oh, is that going on still? Yeah. But it seems to be, I don't know. As I said, we had it fairly easy. But when the arc went in, like, we kind of knew what the struggle was.
Yeah.
In our particular case, Sir Henry's weren't too friendly with us. So basically, that was kind of the reason why we moved to England, you know, after the arc had closed down.
The capacities and all of this obviously would have changed with health and safety also, but...
It was after the Stardust fire. Mm. And all the insurance, they just went sky high and they couldn't pack the crowds they'd used to pack in there before. Like, I mean, like 3,000 people at Lane of Lubbock, apparently.
How do you find the music that's been thrown around, though?
I don't know. I was only talking before the gig the other night and talking to Smelly, actually. And we were just saying that, like, there was music playing in the background and it was being played on stage. And it could have been played in the 80s as well.
Yeah.
Do you know, I can't see anything that jumps out and says that this is, I've never heard anything like this before. Wow. You know, but there's nothing wrong with that either, because it's the same format. Like, you know, four or five guys up on the stage are going to come up with the same things.
Yeah.
Do you know, and I think the bands seem to be a lot tighter or more kind of professional nowadays, all right, like, whereas we were kind of there, like, kind of, you know, fall around the place and kind of missing cues and missing everything, that sort of thing. But the band seem to be a lot tighter and kind of more professional nowadays than that. And there's a lot more of them as well, like.
Speaking of tight and professional, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Big Boy Foolish. But first, we're going to go back to some more music. The Altered Hours with Over the Void, the natural successors to Cork's post-punk legacy, with a little bit of psychedelia and shoegaze influence thrown in. So tell me what you think after we hear them live. And also, Elaine Malone with Mindless. But first, The Altered Hours with Over the Void here on Red on Red.
I'm not afraid to
Play Malone with Mindless, taken from her Land EP, available now across all streaming services and on bandcamp.com. Welcome back to Red on Red, where we're still joined in studio by Ricky, Liam and Ian of And None Came Back / Big Boy Foolish. And there's a differentiation to be had between the two. There's going to be two sets happening at this big gig at Cypress Avenue with two slightly different configurations. We talked a little bit about And None Came Back, and again, if you've just joined us somehow, if you're listening in the background in your friend's house, etc., go track down the Get That Monster Off the Stage documentary for more information. But Big Boy Foolish being, for all intents and purposes, a Big Black type situation where it is a duo and Boris the drummer.
Do you want to tell him more about it, Liam?
Well, Boris plays bass as well, actually.
Oh, no.
Multi-instrumentalist. Multi-mentalist.
In terms of forging ahead as Big Boy Foolish, it's obvious that you kind of, you got the itch, and, you know, if you have the itch, you have to scratch.
Yeah.
How did you sit down and kind of work out what Big Boy Foolish was going to be?
It kind of evolved, really. It wasn't, there was no master plan or anything like that, you know. We were playing, we were doing the And None Came Back stuff, had done a few gigs with that, and then had started to write a few songs. Well, they weren't really songs at that stage. They were just kind of riffs, you know. Mm. And we tried them out in a different incarnation. That didn't work out for us. And so we just kind of plowed ahead, the two of us, you know, and kept going. And, yeah, this is the result of it. We've you know, a bunch of tunes that we're going to be trying out. Yeah, we're the only people who's heard them, really.
I know.
Well, there's a couple up on SoundCloud now, but, yeah.
There are, and we'll be hearing from them in a little bit later on.
We'll see what it sounds like on a night. And it is sounding good. It kind of started off a bit slow, like we had a few problems, but it is starting to feed back to us now very well, and it really sounds good in the room, let's put it that way. And we're just hoping, I think, you know, we'll probably have to do a bigger sound check with Big Boy Foolish than with And None Came Back.
Yeah.
Because, like, of the issues that we have with them. But I feel sure that it will be good on the night. I hope so, anyway.
In terms of taking music, both new and old, to the new Cypress Avenue, I caught the two of you at the big Undivided fundraiser at Cypress Avenue before Christmas. What are your thoughts now walking into it with, you know, all of the work that's been done to expand on it, kind of just the general step up that it's taken in terms of production? How do you set about kind of filling a room that size?
Yeah, I think I think the people in Cypress Avenue are kind of aware, like, that we're not going to, you know, we're not going to sell her out or anything like that. Like, so I don't know.
Tickets available now at Eventbrite.ie.
Eventbrite.ie, there you go. But I don't know, will they close off a bit? I'm not sure. I'd say we'll see what way it goes. But it's very daunting, but it's not something that we haven't done before. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of a room where with a big crowd in front of you, kind of very similar, even though a little bit smaller than the downtown campus or the Arc that we used to do years ago. Now, admittedly, we won't have the Eventbrite ticketed audience coming in there, you know, or the kind of people that used to come into the Arc anyway.
Yeah.
You know, but we won't have that. But we'll just have, we'll see how it goes. Hopefully it'll be good.
But in terms then of bringing those sketches of ideas that you had the first time around all the way to completion, kind of what was the process of jamming them out? Like, where do you go to kind of put this together? What was the process like of kind of bandying ideas back and forth? Who wrote what, etc.? And how has that changed for ye since getting together all those years ago to throw ideas out?
Well, I think Liam will tell you as well. What it started was kind of, Liam was up in Dublin and I had a riff, or he'd have a riff, he'd send it to me, and then we'd add something to it and send it back. And I have the machine Boris at home, and I mix it a bit, throw a drum beat down on it, and, you know, they all came together kind of like that. You know, they grew, they kept on changing. I mean, we have versions of songs 2 or 3 years old that are completely different to what they are today, and nobody has heard them.
Looking forward to hearing them on the stage.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so, and there was an unusual kind of an aspect to it as well with Liam. Liam had a few of his own songs, which are kind of, you know, songs that you used to play, actually.
Kind of acoustic based, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
written songs that we kind of, we took on board and kind of did,
rejigged
them and dissected them and kind of, you know, that was something that I had never done before, actually, because like it was always kind of riff based, whereas you'd get a kind of riff and one that would go with another one, glue that together, and you'd come in then, and Donnelly would work his magic over it, no matter what it was, you know, and we might have to change something a little bit afterwards. To just the vocals would normally go to the music rather than, you know, the other way around.
Yeah.
But this time it's a bit different. It's just a little bit different, but it's, you know, it's still riff based.
Yeah.
You know, and then Liam will add his vocals to it at the very end, like, and it's working out well, isn't it? Even though a lot of the tunes now don't have vocals with them yet.
Mm.
But I'd say about half of them.
More than half, actually. I think there's vocals to, like, I don't know, we have about 9 songs going at the moment, and there's vocals to 6 of them. So, yeah, that's just the way we're working at the moment. Yeah.
Obviously, you're dealing with an audience that's going to be very knowledgeable of the older stuff and a lot of the themes that, you know, those lyrics touched upon. Everything from, you know, men in white coats to the psychogeography of Cork City. What are some of the themes, now yourself, Liam, you're contributing vocals, and I assume that the lyrical duty kind of falls with yourself as well, or?
Yeah, but, you know, they're about horses and stuff like that, and the fair field, you know.
Is that it?
No, I couldn't tell you.
That's about the size of it, yeah.
In terms of?
Horses and the fair field.
In terms of the dynamic, then, between the two of you, performing your own material, and also Ian and other contributors coming together to help pull the live show together in force. You have assistance on drums for a few of the older tunes from Keith O'Connell, aka Smelly.
That's right, yeah. He's come back. I mean, he kind of was completely off the scene for a long time, but he's been clean out for 7 years. And suddenly, you know, he kind of got interested in the last couple of years, bought an electric drum kit and started practicing away. I know he'd be performing with And None Came Back for some of the earlier stuff, which will basically be Caught at the Campus on the night. So it'll be the 3 songs from Caught at the Campus on the night. And we're rehearsing him away. He's a bit nervous. He was a bit nervous going into it, but I think he's gaining in confidence.
He's sounding really good as well. He's sounding brilliant. His confidence is coming back, and his drumming is really good. It was always very interesting music to listen to. And as a drummer, I kind of got freaked out by the way he played. It's very percussive and non-conformal, but it's great percussionist, great sound.
It really is when you listen to the drum line specifically in White Cortina.
Yeah, even Fish on Top of Shandon, the drumming in that is brilliant, and he's kind of very underrated. But he's sounding great, his confidence is back, his playing is starting to sound really good. I'm actually looking forward to watching it.
Me too. You know, obviously we're aware of the story, and it's going to be something that kind of really comes to fruition on the night. So June 18th, Cypress Avenue. Get straight in. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about other projects that some of you are involved in. But for right now, we're going to throw it back to some more current tunes. Coming up next, we have Ghost King is Dead with brand new single Deflector, available across all streaming services courtesy of House 2 Records, and Gadget in the Cloud with recently released track Keep You here on Red on Red.
Sit down.
useless when things gonna pass. Some break my back while he sits on his ass. Come on.
Gadget in the Cloud with Keep You here on Red on Red, still joined in studio by Ricky, Liam and Ian of And None Came Back / Big Boy Foolish. And we heard from Ricky and Liam about the process of not only kind of celebrating the past, but really digging in and making something good of the present. Ian, as somebody that kind of joined after the stage play and got to, I suppose, reverse engineering the band's music, having heard it again passed down via a couple of waves of different music heads that would have been in and out of Cork City, I suppose my first question to you would be, what was it like kind of partaking in the in that whole process of extricating ideas and kind of reassembling them for new uses?
First of all, I was delighted to be asked to get involved. I had known the history of the band through, I suppose, uncles and older people that I knew who'd been to those gigs back in the day. So like I was aware of the band's history and what they were about, and I actually knew the songs from hearing them as a kid. So it was actually Ray Scannell who wrote the play for
Losing Steam
for Corkadorka. He actually put my name up to Ricky, so that's how I got involved. And I was playing with bands at the time as well quite regularly. So I suppose that 2004 I kind of got on board doing that, and then every 5 years since for when we did those gigs. So it was great. It was great because I liked the music. I loved the drumming because it was unusual. It wasn't your standard AC/DC type drumming. It was off the, you know, different, very original. So it was a challenge to play some of the songs, and it was fun. And just being involved with a part of music that was such a big influence on Cork was an honour for me. It opened up my other bands along the way then as well, as in I thought about things differently just from hearing that music. So it was great fun, great songs, great guys to work with, and it was just a great honour to be part of it anytime there was, you know, when they came back together to do stuff. So yeah, delighted with it, happy to be part of it.
You mentioned, of course, your history of playing music in Cork City, and your discography is enviable, to say the least.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I couldn't sit down and do my echo long enough on what you've been doing, so maybe just kind of before we get to what you've been doing with the Nail Drivers, which is a long enough all-running project in and of itself.
20 years this year.
20 years this year. And only with its debut EP available this year.
It took us 20 years to release stuff, but we've
prolific,
been...
Prolific, huh?
Yeah. But, you know, we've been together for 20 years, and again, that's been another great band. That's why we've been with it for so long. And, you know, when I started it, it was all about playing the music of the Clash and the Specials. Again, bands that would have been handed down to me, like Five Gone to the Sea, from uncles and family members who had been older music fans. So, like, since that, there's been an array of stuff that has come along, all different types of music. I suppose the last 5 years, really, since we played in the Pav, have been a changing point. I played with a band called Dissolutes who released an album.
I was trying to think of the name of
Great band.
Excuse my memory.
We signed up with Kim Fowley. Unfortunately, he passed away in the meantime, so... I think we're out of contract now, so we're okay. But
so we're seeing Facebook ads back.
What's that?
I saw a Facebook ad there for Dissolutes not too long ago.
That was the attorney in the States paid for that, so it's all up in the air.
Oh, great.
But it was since that I haven't been doing a whole lot of original stuff, but 5 years ago the Nail Driver started. Like, we've always been kind of messing around with original music, and for the last 5 years we've been recording and demoing stuff. I did some demos for the lads as well. And, you know, it's been great fun, and we actually put stuff out this year, put out a four-track EP, it's called A Song About. And again, it's a good mix of stuff, what we're all interested in, a lot of punk, ska, reggae, and just high energy.
Bit of dub,
too, on the flip as well. Bit of dub, yeah.
Which I was very appreciative of.
Yeah, exactly, that's Dub Gorilla, that's just something we were fooling around with in the studio. But we released it about a month ago, it's going great, we're doing great shows, playing a lot of festivals, we're doing C sessions and a few other festivals coming up over the summer that I'm just waiting to confirm, but C Sessions is Donegal, which will be a great blast, and a few other things just waiting to be confirmed. But again, I'm really looking forward to playing Cypress Avenue with the guys. I think this is my 15th year playing their music, so I love it, so it's great fun. So yeah, two great bands that I'm playing with at the moment, very happy to be still enjoying playing drums and doing the thing. So happy
15 out. Years
15
of
years of
this.
Of None Came Back, and 20 years of Nail Drivers this year. So
you must have some weird takes, so, because again, it's gone from playing with people that you'd have looking up to yeah. having been intimately involved in their comebacks and in their various incarnations. I suppose, what's your take on sitting in on this whole process, I suppose, and of the demoing that you were talking about regarding some of the newer stuff that's re-emerged?
As the lads were saying, you know, they've been writing stuff. It's great. I did a couple of demos for them. And again, there was different people involved of the progression of the songs. And they have great ideas. You can see where they're coming from the past. But you can see that the freshness as well. So there's great songs, great ideas. And then, of course, with the Nun Came Back and... you know, to play that stuff. We did a couple of gigs a few years ago, and just to do it live, we did about 4 gigs that year, I think it was.
Yeah.
We did Independence. We played with the Rats and played the Crane Lane and stuff. So again, you know, that was fun because we only ever get to do a gig every couple of years for the Donnelly shows. But that year we got to do a few gigs, so it developed. And then, of course, just because people's, you know, people's situations and people's schedules get in the way, we kind of took it to where we could. And I suppose that's when they started writing their own stuff then as well, and taking it to another level. So yeah, it's great. It's great music. I love it as a fan, yeah. and as a drummer, it's great fun to play. So happy.
How are you feeling about kind of bringing it now into, we kind of asked the question earlier, but yourself in particular, being a nerd for sound engineering,
yeah.
a former road dog yourself,
yeah.
how are you feeling about bringing those tunes onto that massive new setup inside in Cypress Ave?
It's a big stage. I got to see Therapy, one of my favourite bands, play there a few weeks ago, and the venue looks great. It's certainly... they did a great job of it compared to the size of it before, and I had played there quite a lot before in the smaller version. But you know, we've played a few big gigs, like we played the Pav a few times. The last time we played the Pav was 5 years ago, and to be fair, we got a great crowd. People kind of come out to see what we do as well, because there is a great connection and a great history of the music. And as well, you know, I personally think it'll be okay on the night. You know, I'm not daunted by venues that size anymore. Like, you know, like we did play in the Opera House with the Boonton Rats. We didn't really get afraid of that, did we?
It was fine.
Brilliant.
That was a completely kind of mixed, unaware audience.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my God, it was
great. Strange. Reception. We went there and it was a
good reception as well, which was
very
good. News. That's surprising, considering like the kind of crowd that they would draw these days.
Generation-wise, though, I don't know. I don't know, is there some of them would have actually known the old music? There seemed to be a bit of that about it.
Maybe so, yeah, but it just didn't work when we looked out at that crowd. It did not look like a crowd that we come to see us anyway. Yeah.
Although we did have a Spinal Tap moment earlier that summer. We played Independence, and we were the main band on the last band on the beer hall stage, and we were kind of watching the bands before us, and the venue was full, and of course we clashed with Codaline then.
There was
a mass exodus.
The room empty.
There was a mass exodus, and we had about, I don't know, there was a small amount of people in it compared, but
about 3 people up at the bar, but it looked great. Of my nieces.
I actually had a camera, and I filmed the stage, and we looked fantastic. But what you can't see is the mass exodus going on in the crowd. We've done a couple of gigs that year. It was good fun.
You're also being joined on support this time around by another person that inherited the music of Nun Attacks via familial connection. Soloist, twin siblings, kind of a broad alternative electronic.
That's right, yeah. He's been, his father's from Cork, I'd say. His father was an arcade, as we call it.
Mm.
He's from Wales, and he was in a number of bands over the years, and he has kind of a solo project going on at the moment, and it's kind of basically a one-man band. Mm. And it sounds great, to be honest with you. Sounds great. I'm looking forward to it. And he's really excited about coming over here, like, because, you know, I mean, he probably was a fan, as we call it. And he's just delighted to come over to the hometown of his father and play a gig. you know, in town. And so I'm excited for him as well. Like, and I hope it goes on well. I hope people come in early to see him as well.
That's a question, though, that you could ask. Does being part of that band that people look forward to being part of and, you know, assign that kind of significance to, how does that feel? Or how does
it,
like...
Well, to be honest, it doesn't happen very often. But when it happens, it feels good, all right. It feels... But there is a few, but it is very... I mean, our like, you know, the music that we were playing, it even to this day, like, people listen to it and say, Jesus, turn that off, you know? That's what they're still saying. Like, Michael Disney went away... Do you know, I mean, Michael Disney left Cork and they were playing like to 50 people and they came back and they filled out Cypress Avenue and filled out the concert hall in Dublin.
Mm.
Do you know, so their music kind of grew with people and people kind of matured with it. Whereas our music still is exactly the same as it was.
Still a teenager.
Dear, it is underground. Dear. I'm front of you. Do you know, you either liked it or you didn't. So, like, you know, it'd be great to find a new audience of people that like that kind of insane ranting and rambling and that sort of stuff. Like,
but that's as Cork as it gets, and I think you wouldn't be too far pushed to find that new audience again, I don't think.
Well, it would be nice. Yeah. Well, even for both bands, like, I mean, you know, if there was any degree of success, we'd have no problem in doing it again. Like, but, you know, the demand, even after the Pavilion gig, like, there was a really, really great interest going around, a great buzz. I said, we're going to play gigs, give me up in Dublin, Galway, we're going to play all these things and we're going to do all sorts of mad things. And yeah. It subsides after a while and, you know, people forget about it again.
But things do have a way of getting done. When we come back, we'll talk last minute thoughts about the gig. But first, we're going to go back to some more tunes. We have Pontius Pilate and the Nail Drivers with Big Gorilla.
Myself and Dave Hines and Sean MacDonald have been in the band for a long time. Myself and Sean are kind of the only original two people from the first version 20 years ago. I think Dave has been with us 10 years now at this stage. I was in bands Sean Buenos and Perish the Thought.
Perish the Thought?
Yeah.
I only remembered that again recently.
Right, that was our old band. It was kind of punky metal stuff. Great band, great fun. But me and Dave have been playing together for years. And the three of us started basically just writing songs, coming up with ideas, doing the stuff we love, bit of ska, bit of reggae, bit of punk, bit of pop. There's a bit of everything involved. And we just throw out ideas. Again, like, I'll either play a groove, play a beat, Dave will have a guitar part. And we kind of just take it from there. Sean will come in with vocals or lyrics. And it's pretty much the three of us started off the writing. Our new bass player and other members now are all very helpful contributing, but it came from the three of us originally. And again, it's just ideas, you know, at sound checks and rehearsal room, messing around with little things. And while we were, you know, there's a lot of waiting around in bands, so we get a lot of time to come up with bits and pieces and ideas. So yeah, it comes from the three of us, and really it's just kind of we've been playing the same music for 20 years, so it's nice fun to do something different and bring out our own influences and our own styles of music. So that's how we kind of come up with writing our own stuff. We got about 12 songs recorded. There's another couple of releases this year now as well, but a song about, it was just the kind of testing the water. Again, we're kind of putting those songs in our set with the cover stuff that we do. And to be honest, nobody's noticing that it's our stuff.
Which is a good thing.
Oh yeah, that's great.
Regarding that kind of
if we announce
audience
that it's our song, people kind of go, huh? But when we just mix it between The Clash and The Specials, people just love it. So we're going to stay quiet. But yeah, it's going really well. You know, we're delighted to have it out there and have people listen to it. It's been a long time coming. And yeah, it's available on iTunes and we can...
Spotify Bandcamp, usual CD available.
Yeah. CD and available. We have it on our online...
MySpace.
MySpace after reading it recently.
Vintage.
Nice.
It's on our. It's on our. We can send it out from our shop on our Facebook page as well. So there's
and on your Bandcamp there's t-shirts and all of this.
T-shirts,
as well.
Vinyls coming out now for another single. So
excellent.
We're going retro, but yeah, it's still great fun. And
we're also going to hear from Hope Is Noise with single Bitter End. But first, this is Pontius Pilate and the Nail Drivers with Big Gorilla here on Red on Red.
We'll be right back. He's hanging off a wheel, he's had a dream of just a wheel. That's why he always tends to stay inside. Go! To the ledge, despite what people said, listening he considers a drag. And here's the strangest thing, is when they're thrown into the ring, is that's the only one that matches his bag. He's not a rounded male, not developed, not to scale. His issues are getting harder to hide. He's hanging off a wheel, is it a dream or just a wheel? That's why he always tends to stay inside. Start to slide.
Hope is Noise with Bitter End here on Red on Red. Still joined in studio by Ricky, Liam and Ian of And None Came Back / Big Boy Foolish. And the gig's coming up on the 18th of June at Cypress Avenue. Tickets available from the Old Oak and from cypressavenue.ie and eventbrite.ie. Also, a tenner in for And None Came Back, Big Boy Foolish and
Twin Siblings,
which we discussed a little bit earlier on. Any final thoughts heading into the show yourselves?
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. The set on the night might be kind of interesting. I think we're planning on maybe doing a few tribute songs for Mick Lynch. Might be interesting to people on the night.
Mm. That could be a whole other process in and of itself.
It could be, yeah. Just trying to, But anyway, it should be good. It's €10 to get in, which is for nothing.
Aye.
You know, so I know it's a Tuesday night, but somebody said it to me, why didn't you have it on the Friday night? Well, unfortunately, he died on the 18th of June. So we like to have it on the night that he died, which is kind of, you know. And it's Tuesday night, you know, take today off the following day.
Yeah, no shortage of babysitters available that night either.
Yeah, exactly. Sure, the babysitters want to be working during the week, so.
And you don't have to drink.
No, you don't have
what? To. What? Excuse me, please. And yeah, and if you're of the age that you used to go to the Ark, do you bring your kids with you? Grandkids, even if you have them. But just come along if you can and just kind of relive the old days if we can recreate it.
Fun for all the family at Cypress Avenue on June the 18th. The Donnelly documentary Get That Monster Off Stage is available in audio and transcribed text format. Google Songs to Learn and Sing for more information on Paul McDermott's fantastic archive of interviews and general music material. Caught at the Campus is available across all streaming services, which is something that only kind of came to my attention a couple of months ago when I was complaining on Twitter about not being able to find it for a decent price on Discogs. Another case of one of the young'uns doing their research on Cork music and presenting it forth to the world. Apparently it went up on the streaming services with Elvira's catalogue. The Rika's Records catalogue, so we'll see what happens there. But available on Spotify, Apple Music and all of the streaming services. There was chat a little while ago as well about a Nunna Tax reissue.
All City will be bringing out All City Records, you know, the Dublin.
Yeah, Archival.
We'll be doing archive across the three bands that I was in.
Is this confirmed?
It is confirmed.
Oh,
it's in process, yeah. But track listings I haven't kind of, you know, I'm not 100% sure, but it is confirmed. I think, as far as I know, it's going for mastering fairly soon. So, So the thing's happening. It was kind of fairly quiet for a while, but I'm not actually involved in. Obviously, in the process of picking the tracks or anything like that.
That would be a John Byrne process,
wouldn't
John
it? Byrne would be heavily involved, and Paul McDermott as well as involved, as long with All City.
John but is some lad, though.
I don't know, he does it, like, a dedicated man as well. Like,
he is.
Do you know, and encyclopedic knowledge that he has.
Oh, but exactly. But I mean, how do you think we all got our knowledge of the Cork music scene? Know, from people like John, do you know?
Yeah.
He's just one of those people that cares, that genuinely cares, and it's inspiring. Yeah, like, it's great that's confirmed. Is that a scoop now you have for us?
It is, yeah. Well, it's definitely going ahead, but I can't give any dates yet. Shall I?
Yeah.
I don't know how this process works. Like, I've been well over that game, like, but we'd definitely be seeing it this year anyway.
Unreal. I mean, considering the respect that they show to Stano and to Michael O'Shea and their reissues, to where
they don't do anything by kind of half measures, like, they do it properly. And I think that's what they're waiting to do. That's why, like, I mean, I think, you know, it probably would have been meant to be out earlier this year. Mm. But no, they're just making sure that everything is right. I hope.
Absolutely.
And we'll see. We'll see where it's like. And when.
It's a massive legacy to be doing justice to, so they're right to be kind of taking the lead.
Yeah, and as you say, like, John Byrne is heavily involved in that as well. Like, make sure the right ones are heard. Like, a couple of RTE sessions that are there that are interesting as well.
Yeah, he was telling me that he had some stuff on tape that nobody else had, because, you know, I have the Paul McDermott versions of stuff that were.
Yeah, there's a few things now, all right, floating around, all right, like that. Well, I've heard of them, but they're kind of rare, kind of ones that that I was so, oh, Jesus, I don't remember that at all. Do you know?
This is going to make tremendous listening altogether.
Yeah, well, I look forward to it myself, actually.
This is going to be class. And that about wraps it up for this week's episode of Red on Red, Cork's new music podcast from Red FM and RedExtra.ie. Thank you very much to Ricky Dineen, Liam Heffernan and Ian Walsh of And None Came Back / Big Boy Foolish for joining us in studio this week.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks a lot, boy. Take it easy.
Thanks, Mike.
Sound.
Don't forget to come to the gig.
And thank you very much for listening. And if you like what you're hearing, please take the time to subscribe and leave a review on Apple and Google Podcasts, Spotify, as well as other podcasting platforms. Please share this on your social media and make sure to check out the artists featured online or at an upcoming gig. And if you'd like more Irish tunes, be sure to listen in to Green on Red on Sunday nights with Alan O'Donovan for the best of all that is Irish on Cork's Red FM, 104 to 106. And you're leaving us with a brand new track of Big Boy Foolish's that went up on SoundCloud a couple of days ago. Horsey, you mentioned that there's a bit of contrast now between this and some of the stuff that we've heard from the reunion thus far.
Yeah. But anything that came out from Big Boy Foolish, I mean, one song could be completely different to the next. You know, but this one sounds different to the first one we put up, which was kind of, I suppose, more commercial, and it was kind of more accessible. Mm-hmm. But this one is a bit more, as a horrible word, as quirky.
That is a horrible word.
I know it, isn't it? Yeah. And it was the only one I could think of. No, if you could think of another one, you could dub it into it instead.
But, if only
quirky.
Quirky. Quirky. That's the quirky version of it. Yeah, and that's the one we put up the other night. But the song has been around in various incarnations, but very few people have heard it. Do you know, I mean, we've been working on things, adding to them, taking things away. So, you can have a listen to it and see what you think.
And that's what we're going to get to right now. This is Big Boy Foolish with Horsey. This has been Red on Red, and we'll talk to you next week. Giddy up, giddy up, giddy up.
Red on Red.
The water in Majorca. The
water in Majorca.
FC. Let me keep rolling there.
Connie Balti FC.
All right, Ian, can I get you there, please?
Check, check. Yes, yes.
Guilty about.
Okie doke. Sure, we'll run with it as it is. So, from the chat. 3, 2, 1.